Our weekly chat with our good buddy Dave McCarthy from Sirius XM NHL. And Dave, lots going on. The Buffalo Sabres, the better question is who's left in the Sabres organization rather than run down the list of who got let go today. Crazy.
Yeah, no kidding, boys. What a mess that is in Buffalo. But I'll tell you what, there's a few things that stood out to me from what I heard what Terry Pegula had to say. Number one, to say there was professional differences, you know, okay, to me that seems like Buffalo was looking to cut costs. And Jason said, no, I don't want you to cut my staff down. So that seems to be what I would glean from that. The other thing that really stood out to me was that Terry said that they have a vision and they want to work with somebody who they feel can put their vision into place. My question would be, okay, that's fine, but when did you get this vision? Because you've been to Cards for 10 years now, and you've now been through four general managers. So at some point, you got to arrive at somebody, and it just seems like constant turnover is not a great way for success either.
I've thrown an idea out there, and I want to run it by you, Dave, because you're quite a level hell of a gentleman. I think Ralph Kruger, although he's a good coach, he would be a better asset to the organization by moving him into a president of hockey ops or whatever it is, someone to oversee the rebuilding, and I believe is needed, a rebuilding of that organization. Is that crazy to move a coach up that many levels at this time?
Not necessarily, because he has had managerial experience, albeit running a soccer team in the EPL, not an NHL team. But I'll tell you, he's one of those guys that when you talk to, you immediately come away impressed. I like Ralph a lot. I think he's a really sharp, smart guy. And I'm sure he could probably excel in the role that you speak of. Issue is, the other thing that I heard out of what Terry had to say was that this is not a rebuild. They do not feel that they're in a position where they have to rebuild their organization. And I guess it comes down to how you define rebuild. They've got two guys that a lot of teams would kill to build around, in Jack Eichel and Rasmus Dahlin. The issue is everybody they've put around them hasn't been very good. So I don't think they have to rebuild, but other than those two guys, they got a lot of work to do on that roster, and that's become abundantly clear, you know, specifically in recent times over the last 2-3 years where we thought they were at a point where they were going to turn the corner. And then it became clear that they were not ready to. So they need to find a goalie. That's, I think, issue number one for me. Then they need to go out and they need to find some depth in that lineup and not just rely on Jack. And then they're also going to need to find a way to get rid of some contracts that do not look very good. Kyle Pozos comes to mind. I mean, Jeff Skinner just signed a deal. He's going to get another opportunity to make good on that, but this year was no good, and at nine sheets, he's going to need to do a lot better than he did this year. So they got a lot of work to do. I wouldn't be shocked if Ralph might be that guy, but it seems like they've arrived at Kevin Adams, someone who's been with them for a long, long time since the Pegulas owned the team. I think Kevin has their trust. I think he's going to get an opportunity to show what he can do, but I think Ralph will have a hand in personnel.
Yeah, I can tell you, Dave, what you see is what you get from Mr. Skinner. He's never living up to $9 million because he's not that good of a player. He's a 60-point guy who had a career year right before UFA. And when we crunched all the numbers on the show for the whole, I said, do not pay this guy. And like you thought maybe the first 2-3 years, okay, maybe. But to give him that long of a term, it usually doesn't work for many players, never mind average skating wingers. So I think that's a contract that's going to haunt them for quite some time. You mentioned Dahlin. You've got Jack Eichel. Like, I'm very curious what Adams thinks about Reese Dahlin, because I think, you know what, he had a really good year in Buffalo this year. And I think a lot of people have looked at his numbers and they don't realize, like, he got fed to the wolves early in his career on a not very good team. And that's kind of like you look at, you know, Justin Schultz and Edmonton, Jeff Petrie at times, their numbers they might have looked worse than the player they are, because when you're on a crap team and you got to play higher up in the lineup than you should be, then you end up looking even worse.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I know the folks that calculate games for a living are not going to like what I say here, but I really like Rasmus Dahlin. I know his numbers haven't been very good from an advanced stats standpoint, but as you point out, when you're early in your career and you're playing over your head and you're getting eaten up every night, is that a reflection on you as a player, or is it a reflection on the situation you're in? And I think in the proper situation, there's a lot to like about how Rasmus Ristolainen plays. He's big. He shoots right. He's nasty. There's a lot of room for a guy like him on my team, and I think they would be foolish to move him for pennies on the dollar, because I think if you could put some better players around him and get the team in a better shape to have success, I think it's a guy that you would really like on a second pairing. He does a lot of nice stuff for you.
Talking with Dave McCarthy, a Sirius XM NHL host. Dave, you know, when I look at the Sabres, I see a team that has some parts. And you touched on, you know, Jack Eichel, number one center. You know, Skinner, top six forward. Kyle Okposo is, you know, he's having some tough times. I think Sam Reinhart. I think Victor Olofsson could be in there. And then the back end, you got Rasmus Ristolainen. And you talked about Rasmus Dahlin, and then Henry Jokiharju. So there are some pieces there. I think goaltending you touched on already. But my issue, I don't think, is their top end. I think it's the meat of the sandwich, right? They need to fill the meat up. And to me, that is directly a result of, you look at the Ryan O'Reilly trade. What's left of the Ryan O'Reilly trade? You know, there's not that much, and some of those moves have been hurt. So I think in a lot of ways, they've been hurting themselves. Maybe the slow development of Mittelstadt is another thing. So I think this team has hurt themselves in so many ways, because it seemed like they were kind of well-positioned a year or two ago.
It did. But see, that's the issue. When you move a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, the way they did it, they end up getting pennies on the dollar. And then 2 years down the road, you look back and you say, here's a guy who just won a Stanley Cup and a Conn Smythe. What did we get for that guy? Nothing. Well, if the answer is nothing, you're going to be in big, big trouble. And that's the situation I think they'll find themselves in if they move Rasmus Ristolainen. He'll be a guy moved at pennies on the dollar. He'll go to a team and that'll slot him in properly, and then you'll end up really, really liking him, and you'll have gotten, you know, who knows what they get back for him, but you're not in a position of strength if you deal him. But I agree with you, Study. Apart from their core pieces, which we identified, you know, it's important to have those guys on the team, but as we see come playoff time, the teams that ultimately go on to have success are the guys that get contributions from up and down the lineup. Look at Edmonton over the last number of years. They had two of the best players in the league, probably, McDavid and Draisaitl, and then, you know, the rest of the lineup got caved in every time they went over the boards. Kenny Holland did a really nice job of adding some length and some depth to that lineup, and look what happened. You know, Draisaitl, McDavid continued to do what they did. Now Darnell Nurse is in a better position. Klefbom has developed, and they've had contributions from down the lineup. They're a decent team this year. That's the situation that Buffalo needs to get to, because they've got the pieces similar to what Edmonton had. They just need to build around them much, much better so that they can finally start to have some success of their own. I mean, look at the Maple Leafs in 16-17. Sure, they had Matthews and Marner and Nylander, and that helped. But then they got contributions from guys like Zach Hyman and Connor Brown that made real impacts. Tyler Bozak was there. JVR was there. Kadri was there. So it wasn't just Matthews and Marner and Nylander that you were relying on. You had length throughout that lineup, and they were able to take a jump right away and, you know, say what you will, haven't looked back. They haven't really won anything in the playoffs, but they've been a competitive team. And at this point, if you're Buffalo, if you could tell me that they were going to make the playoffs for 4 years in a row and get punted in the first round, I think a lot of folks in Buffalo would sign up for that right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, a lot of people are wondering, and on all sports, the champions, let's assume every league plays out their season. They're awarded the championship, whatever their championship's called. Some people are calling that there should be an asterisk beside that. But, you know, Patrick Kane today talked about that there should be no asterisk next to that, because it's so hard to win it. How do you envision looking back 5 years from now and say, oh, well, Team X or Team Y won in this league or that league, but, you know, it was a shortened season, it was a weird year, I don't really give that one full value? Or how do you come out with this one, McCarthy?
Well, I asked Davey Boland this situation on my show a couple weeks ago. If you recall, he scored a pretty big goal in the Stanley Cup Finals the last time there was an abbreviated season. And I asked him just that question. He almost came through the phone. He's like, yeah, no, I haven't heard anybody tell me that there's an asterisk beside that championship. I totally agree with him. So why would there be an asterisk beside this championship? One, they've played 70 games. They played 48 games that year. This year, if you didn't finish in the top four in the conference, you're going to have to win five rounds to win the Stanley Cup. You're still playing a best of seven in the four rounds of the playoffs. The only reason I think people say, well, there's an asterisk beside it is, well, because there won't be fans in the stands. Okay, but the last time I checked, the fans don't come over the boards and onto the ice very often and get to play.
Yeah.
So you still have got to win the games. And you know, Strutty, as well as I do, that with the Stanley Cup on the line, you don't think the intensity is going to get to where we regularly get accustomed to seeing it. Have you been to my Monday Night Ball Hockey League at 9 p.m. on Monday night? Like, guys are wanting to fight each other in the parking lot after the game, and there's nothing on the line for us. The cup on the line, the intensity is going to be there. There's no asterisk, and anyone who says that is they're not correct. It's the best polite way that I can put it.
Agree wholeheartedly, Davey. As always, my man, great to catch up with you. We will chat with you next week as we inch closer to openings of NHL training camps.
Looking forward to it, boys. Keep up.